opera today, being fairly typical, completely magical, made magnificent by Patricia Petitbon as the ravishing red-haired Alcina, when this wonderfully teasing, titillating magical world was destroyed and the fantasy of the two old spinster sisters evaporated, we grieved. So that's Saturday evening here on Radio 3 at 6 o'clock. We're broadcasting between 90 and 93 on FM, we're on DAB digital radio, and we're live online in HD sound. It's 11 o'clock, and time now for Jazz on 3 with Jez Nelson.
Good evening, season's greetings, and welcome along to Jazz on 3. Well, with just days of 2015 left, it's time for our annual stock take of the jazz year. And tonight, we've music from all corners of the jazz universe, from emerging talent to the biggest international stars, as we attempt to round up some of the year's best releases in a mere 90 minutes. And joining me for the ride, and equipped with a small pile of albums to hand, are Jazz FM presenter Helen Mayhew and Guardian jazz critic John Fordham. Good to see you both.
Hi, Jess.
A late happy Christmas.
And to you.
Thank you.
Well, we've music coming up from the likes of Maria Schneider, Robert Glasper and Thomas Thronan. But first, let's get stuck straight into the music with something I have to say that passed me by this year. But I'm glad that you brought it along. Helen, tell us about your first choice.
Well, this is a band featuring some of our finest young musicians, and it's led by a bass player and composer called Misha Mullav Abado. The album's called New Ansonia. And I chose it because it's just so great to hear a young musician making music with such a positive and uplifting sound, and I think this one encapsulates the album. It's a fantastic take on Earth, Wind and Fire's hit September. Thank you.
first choice of one of my guests tonight, Helen Mayhew, as we look back at some of the highlights of 2015. I think it's important to say it's very, very difficult to say these are the albums of the year. They're just some things that the three of us have chosen to share with you because we thought they were high moments in the year. And Helen, Misha Malov Abado and a take on September, which is such a wonderful tune anyway. And it's quite a brave arrangement of it.
I think it's a really adventurous arrangement and really typical of what Misha does. And I mean, his background, he comes from a family of what you can only describe as classical music superstars. He's the son of the great conductor Claudio Abado, and both his parents play on that album, which is sort of weird, but it's okay if your mum is a classical violinist Victoria Malova and your stepdad is the cellist Matthew Barley, and they're both on that album. And there's some of the UK's finest young musicians on there: Tom Green on trombone, Matthew Hurd saxophone, and Scott Chapman drums, and also Jacob Collier on piano, who poor old Misha can't afford to hire anymore in the band because he's just gone off into the stratosphere working with people like Quincy Jones and Herbie Hancock.
I think he did a version of, I think it was Beat It or something like that, that put up on YouTube, and Quincy came in and said, wow, this is incredible. He's the guy who actually produced, you know, the best-selling album of all time by Michael Jackson. So very impressive. Well, someone else who's as kind of as close to a jazz superstar as you can get is Robert Glasper. He's your first choice, John.
Yes, that's right. I was thinking of Robert Glasper appearing on the London Jazz Festival a couple of years ago with pretty much an R&B and hip-hop band and saying, this is a jazz festival, right? And the audience all goes, yeah. And then he says, well, expletive that, we ain't playing it. And so I think there's quite a lot of people who know Robert Glasper's background, who know how good a jazz pianist he is, who want him to be doing more of that. And in a way, this is the perfect compromise for everybody, although it isn't a compromised record. So the album is called Covered. A lot of the tracks are covers of R&B anthems, really, and Kendrick Lamar and all kinds of people like that. But there is one standard, which is Stella by Starlight. And it's just wonderful to hear Robert play in... You can hear all of the jazz tradition coming through it, and yet it's always got this very kind of crisp, rhythmically audacious kind of feel that's coming from the drums and is coming from hip-hop. So you get the combination of those two things on this track, Stella by Starlight, very, very famous jazz evergreen. Thank you.
Stella by Starlight, covered by the Robert Glasper Trio, an album recorded live at the Capitol Studios for Blue Note Records and called Covered, the first choice of one of my guests tonight, John Fordham from The Guardian. And John, that album found Robert reuniting with his original acoustic trio.
That's right, Vicente Archer on double bass and Damien Reed on drums.
Interestingly enough, there was a review of this on Pitchfork, and Marcus J. Moore said this: a no-frills record that recedes into the background without much fuss. The album feels tedious in certain spots. It has an overly meditative vibe, and I really did enjoy it, but I kind of know what he means as well. I sort of put it on the other day, and there were moments when I slightly zoned out. I'm not sure that's necessarily a bad thing, but there's something... Obviously, he's got his own sound, which is fantastic, but sometimes, I don't know why, I just find he's soloing a little bit over-predictable.
So I know what you mean. And I think, actually, when he played at Ronnie Scott's during the summer with the same group, a similar thing happened at times. He let certain kind of meditative parts of the gig carry on a little too long. But he always pulls it back, and it kind of reminds me of even people like Sonny Rollins. It sounds a ridiculous comparison, but he's always bringing it back to a hook that the audience can relate to, however out he may get. So I would like him to have a little more edge, but he is catering for two audiences at once, which is a difficult thing to do.
Helen, as presenter of Dinner Jazz, the piano trio format is something you're very familiar with, so do you think that Robert brings something fresh to it?
Well, very much so. I mean, it's beautiful in places. I know what the two of you are saying, that sometimes your attention can wander when it is a piano trio, and then you find yourself, as you say, just being drawn back into it. But it is a nice halfway house between genres, and it's good that he's actually thinking about that and thinking about bringing his audience with him back into the jazz fold.
Well, if you have thoughts on Robert Glasper or any of the other music that we're playing on the programme tonight, or indeed you have suggestions, you think, you idiots, you've left out some absolutely obvious albums that should be on this list, tweet us at BBC Jazz on Three, or you can email jazzon3@bbc.co.uk. OK, time for my first choice now. And I chose this CD by guitarist Liberty Hillman, partly because I wanted to mark what I think is one of the most kind of important record labels of the era, actually, and that's Pi Records, which comes out of New York. And it's a label which is the home to two of the sort of towering figures of the music, Steve Coleman and Henry Threadgill. But also it's put out records by Rudrish Mahanthapa, Vijay Iyer, and people like multi-instrumentalist Tyshawn Sorey. And Liberty Hillman has been a long-time member of Henry Threadgill's band Zooid. And I think there's something about this album, and particularly this track, which we're going to play, the opening track, Supercell, which kind of sums up this... I don't know, this brilliant sort of music that's been created over the last couple of decades, really, which is simultaneously kind of rhythmically complex but very, very groovy, and also does some kind of extraordinary things with melody and sort of dissonance. I think the whole thing hangs together brilliantly. I love this. This is Liberty Hillman and Supercell. Thank you. We'll be right back. You're listening to Jazz on 3 with me, Jez Nelson, joined tonight by guests Jazz FM presenter Helen Mayhew and Guardian jazz critic John Fordham. We're looking back at some of the best releases of the last 12 months. First of all, we heard Liberty Elman, his guitar player, and that album features great saxophonist Steve Lehman. It's called Radiate and it's out on Pi Records. And then we just heard the first of two orchestral pieces we're going to hear tonight. That was Copenhagen from the Colin Towns Orchestra, and an anniversary year for this band. And what a lineup.
A phenomenal lineup, absolutely. And Colin Towns, I always feel, is a real underrated force in British large scale jazz. And it was originally a prog rock pianist, I think. That's how he got going. And then became a very successful TV and film composer. But he's devoted to jazz, and he's always run a jazz band as a sort of sideline called the Mask Orchestra, of which this is the latest edition. And these pieces are taken from music that he's written for theatre. So that was Copenhagen, which was written for a Michael Frayn play. And I think that there's a combination of elements from Gil Evans, elements from Carla Bley, elements from Stravinsky, from Leonard Bernstein, from all over the place, because Colin hasn't gone about jazz down a kind of central line. He's been a complete maverick and picked stuff up from all over the place. And I think you can hear that in that track. Phenomenal piece of music and wonderful solos.
So while we're on the subject of jazz and drama, I think you could look back at 2015 and say it's been a good year for jazz and film. We started the year with Whiplash, and then we had the excellent Birdman. I don't know if you guys have seen Birdman. Mm-hmm. You've seen Birdman. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think it's probably available now. One of those films, if you haven't seen it, get it out for Christmas and check that out, featuring Antonio Sanchez, who, by the way, you can see playing in this very studio on a YouTube video, which is done brilliantly. Antonio Sanchez talking about how he recorded the soundtrack to that movie. We'll put a link up on the website. And then some great jazz documentaries this year. Check out the new documentary about Nina Simone on Netflix. It's excellent. And Helen, you have a choice of a documentary, I know, as well.
Yes, absolutely. This one is about the life and times of the saxophonist Tubby Hayes, and it's called A Man in a Hurry, directed by Lee Cogswell. And I really love this film. I mean, it's some very insightful interviews and great archive footage as well. It really took you back to the London that Tubby knew, and some fantastic 50s television clips of jazz musicians in action, and particularly one of Ella Fitzgerald heralding Tubby in her band and calling him in for a solo. And it is just absolutely fantastic film, very moving as well, because one of the contributors is Tubby's son, who, because Tubby died so young, I think he died at the age of 38 after a life very well lived, a bit too well lived, his son scarcely knew how much he meant to the people of the jazz world, and it was lovely to see him on that. It was a beautiful film.
Once again, we'll put details of that documentary up on the Jazz on the Free website. And John, you chose Robert Glasper earlier on. I was reading that he's just actually been involved writing the soundtrack for the Miles Davis movie. So we should begin to get excited now, because that movie is coming out early in the new year.
Oh, wow. That's one to look forward to.
Oh, that film directed and starring Don Cheadle coming early in the new year. Right, still to come, we're going to finish tonight with some wonderful solo music from British piano player Liam Noble. And we have another excellent pianist, the American Chris Davis. But now time for my next choice. And this project, I think, was originally the kind of brainchild of Late Junction presenter Fiona Talkington, who suggested that Norwegian drummer Thomas Thronen put together a band featuring British and Norwegian musicians. And I think by doing so, she started the beginnings of a beautiful relationship between Thomas and the British piano player Kit Downes. And Kit, I think, is very much the star, alongside the writing and the arrangements on this album, which is called Time is a Blind Guide.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's a new British group called Tipping Point and the Earthworms Eye View, chosen by John Fordham as one of his favourite albums of the year. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But before that, we heard Thomas Stronen, a Norwegian drummer on ECM Records, and Time is a Blind Guide, featuring Kit Downs. And I know you're a fan of Kit, but you're not necessarily normally a fan of this kind of music, Helen.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, Kit Downs is, as you said beforehand, the outstanding musician on this album. I mean, every phrase, every line he delivers is absolute magic. It's just wonderful. He's like musical fairy dust on this album. But yes, Norwegian jazz, some of it, it's just too still and cold for me, like being having your feet entombed in ice. And I know there's a huge following for that sort of music, and I can understand people enjoying its meditative qualities, but it's not for me, a lot of it.
There's a real range of music on that album, actually, but it's at its heart some beautiful melodies, as we just heard then. So Tipping Point, John, that piece was called The Earthworm's Eye View. It seems quite fitting because it seems to sort of crawl along the ground rather slowly.
It does, yeah. It's
although worms don't crawl, do they? It seems to slide along.
It wriggles. It wriggles, yeah. Well, actually, there's other parts of that album that are a little brisker than that. And when I first heard it, I thought, if Miles Davis had ever teamed up with Evan Parker or something, I mean, if the sort of Bitches Brew group had ever been able to combine with something that was going on in British Free Improv, it might have come out sounding something like that, because Matthew Bourne, someone whose work I always love to hear in any context, is playing Fender Rhodes on quite a lot of it, and James Mannering, the saxophone player who we know from Roller Trio, sounds as if he's quite deeply into European Free Improv, as well as all kinds of other ways of playing the sax that are a lot more straight ahead. So I found it a really interesting combination, really, and I just like the kind of dark, ominous edge of it somehow. Maybe I was in a certain mood at the time I heard it first.
Helen, your reaction at this happy time of year to that dirgy music?
Not exactly festive, is it? Yeah, I think the title again sums it up, The Earthworm's Eye View, gritty, dark and cold. And I mean, even Mannering himself, he describes it as a journey through purgatory. I'm not sure I want to be with him on that journey.
Well, it's the way a lot of people feel after Christmas, I think.
Well, we've been asking on Twitter for your albums of the year as well, and we had Dave Gamble saying, favourite jazz album of the year? Two words, the epic. And Filth D says, I'm sure there are other worthy suggestions, but it's impossible to look past Kamasi Washington's The Epic. And I think it was number one in the Jazz Wise list of the year. We chose not to play it tonight because, as I'll tell you in a moment, you'll be able to hear lots from Kamasi elsewhere on BBC Radio 3. But a quick word from you two guys about Kamasi Washington, because certainly he's been the jazz name of the year, the kind of hype artist of the year, if you like.
Absolutely. People have been really ecstatic about that record, and people who went to his London gigs, which I didn't get to, but I heard it on the radio, said it sort of summed up the idea of being like at a Coltrane gig in the 60s or something. You know, that tremendous intensity and amazingly muscular sound and eloquence of Kamasi himself. But I sort of thought about Coltrane in that context, having heard that remark, and I thought what Coltrane was doing back then was something that was coming straight out of him and hadn't been done before. And I think a lot of this is a recombination of quite a number of things that already exist, which is not taking anything away from it, and it's combining things that otherwise might not be happening in jazz. So I think it's a fantastic thing to have happened. How groundbreaking it is musically, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, having been there on the night, it had an enormous power about it. Funnily enough, for me, it was a bit like there was a Strata East revival gig a few months ago, which wasn't very good. And I thought, well, this is actually how I wanted that to sound. It's very, very retro in parts. But it's a phenomenon. I think, you know, he is going to be a force to be reckoned with over the next few years. Well, if you'd like to revisit that album, Jazz Lineup featured music from The Epic on their Boxing Day show on Saturday. You can head back to the iPlayer to hear that. And they'll also be playing more music from that London Jazz Festival concert early in the new year. Right, Helen, we're going to move to your next choice now, and this comes from another artist who played at the London Jazz Festival, Maria Schneider.
And I was lucky enough to see that concert from Maria, and it's really what alerted me to this album, which I've now nominated as one of my favourites of the year. And it's a long-awaited release. I mean, she's taken 8 years after Sky Blue came out, and this one, I'm pleased to say, has got 2 Grammy nominations. And it's called The Thompson Fields. And I think Maria's music, as you'll hear, quintessentially American. It's got this pastoral feel. The title comes from the land of her childhood, the Thompson Fields, and it evokes the farmland and prairies of America. And you can hear all these wonderful elements, vast in scope and scale, but also very intimate in places as well, with plenty of space in which to let the fabulous musicians in this orchestra improvise. Thank you.
It's the last Jazz on 3 of the year, and as is the tradition, we're looking back at some of the great releases of the last 12 months, chosen by my guests John Fordham from The Guardian and Helen Mayhew from Jazz FM. That was actually Helen's choice. Nimbus from Maria Schneider and her orchestra, an album called The Thompson Fields. John, I wanted to pick up on something that you wrote in your review of her concert at the London Jazz Festival and get you to expand on this idea that much jazz is very urban sounding, and in fact this reflects the rural landscape of America.
Yeah, well, whenever I hear her, actually, it makes me think of some of Pat Metheny's music, where particularly some of those larger scale things he did, which has got that sense of space. And in a more intimate way, Bill Frisell's music, which has a sort of very strong quality of Americana about it in a more eccentric way. And also from classical music, Aaron Copland. I mean, there's things that Maria's done that remind me of the Appalachian Spring or something like that. And, you know, it's beautiful, spacious music. The band sounds so fantastic, which is partly a virtue of being able to hold a loyal group of players together for such a long while. And it's in the low brass, it's pure Gil Evans and the use of the flutes against the brass. But it's rhythmically fascinating too, and there's so much stuff going on in it, but it never sounds crowded. Beautiful music.
Helen, it's a beautifully produced album, but it's also a beautifully produced package. It comes with a wonderful booklet. And there was an interview with Maria in the Arts Desk, an online site, and someone asked her about the kind of huge amount that goes into producing a piece of work like this. And she says, it was a stunning amount of work, and to be honest, I don't know if I can do it again. Between the problems with the internet and people giving it away for free and the cost of shipping, it's all so hard. You're competing with a world that is so inundated with content and video and this and that, and people are just choking on stuff and they aren't thirsty to listen like we used to be back when we had space in our lives. Now all I'm looking for is silence, and I didn't used to be that way.
Oh, isn't that interesting? I mean, she's right. It's no cheap or easy undertaking, as John said, to keep a band of that quality together. And I mean, it's a testament to her drive and her determination and her talent that she manages to achieve that. And producing music of this quality, I mean, hats off to her. It's amazing.
Well, inevitably at this time of year, we also look back at some of the great jazz characters that we've lost over the last 12 months. I know you both have a couple of people you wanted to mention, Helen.
Yes, I was very sad that John Taylor passed away. I mean, suddenly and unexpectedly, while he was performing on stage at a festival in France just a couple of months ago. I mean, an absolute colossus of jazz piano and one of the few UK stars, I think, who's recognised internationally as a fabulous talent, wonderful composer and just an amazing, sensitive player. Also Mark Murphy, such a risk-taking, totally distinctive voice. I mean, purveyor of top-class vocalese and just eternally hip. You know, that was a sad loss. And, of course, Ornette Coleman.
Well, here's something from Ornette in a moment. Just a couple of thoughts from you, John.
Well, I think, actually, of Don Rendell, the British saxophone player who died around about the same time as Mark Murphy, I think, just a few weeks ago. You know, he was someone who was a real powerhouse on the British scene and very much a part of that Michael Garrick band in the 60s that produced some of the most independent-sounding British compositions that had come out of jazz. Prior to that, it was nearly always replicas of American ventures of one sort or another. So Rendell was a real independent spirit.
Well, in a year that was actually quite a poignant one for the avant-garde side of the music, it was the 50th anniversary of the Association for the Advancement of Creative Musicians, and we celebrated that on a few occasions here. We also lost one of the great free jazz pioneers, and that was Ornette Coleman. And we thought, well, what can we play from Ornette? And we thought, well, let's just go for something absolutely classic and let's have a listen to Ramblin'. I know you like this, Helen.
Oh, wonderful piece of music. And I mean, what a huge figure in jazz. And one of those jazz musicians, along with Miles and Coltrane, Herbie Hancock, who actually had an impact and is known to people outside of the jazz sphere. I mean, he created the Meltdown Festival in 2009, so it's right that we mark his passing.
Thank you.
2015 was the year that we lost Ornette Coleman, and we heard Ornette from 1960 with Don Cherry, Charlie Hayden and Billy Higgins from the album Change of the Century. And Ramblin', if you have some cash left over or some vouchers for Christmas or something and you don't have a copy of that album, then do go and get one. And then we heard Chris Davis, a Canadian pianist now resident in New York, and her band Infrasound. The album is called Save Your Breath, and it's actually a project for four bass clarinet players as well as a guitarist and organ player and drummer Jim Black. And she describes that group as a living, breathing animal, and I really like it because it's the compositions rarely kind of stay still at all. There's always this sense of restlessness, and they don't settle in any one place, which I guess in certain moods can be frustrating, but I think it's kind of a brave way to approach composition. John Fordham, do you enjoy that?
Yeah, with that instrumentation, it creates quite a sort of dark landscape, isn't it? Which, I think she's a really interesting pianist. I've heard her with Tom Rainey and with Ingrid Lawbrook's band, and you know, she actually plays lyrically, but she also plays in a real sort of flinty, edgy way. I think she's a very interesting artist.
Helen, can't imagine you kind of getting away with that one on Dinner Jazz, but how did you feel about it?
I think that one would definitely get me the sack, Jez. Sorry about that. I think she should stick by the song title as well, Always Leave Them Wanting More. I was very happy after 1 minute of that. But I think four bass clarinets is a very good idea. I love the way they all sort of moved along mysteriously in this mass together. I thought that was fantastic.
OK, well, we'll finish with the choice from Helen in a moment to reset the balance. But just before we do that, we all have longer lists. There's more we'd like to have played. So just a couple of thoughts from each of you on other albums that you'd like to have played if you'd had the time. John?
Well, I liked Polar Bear's The Same As You, more electronic than Polar Bear in the past, but just as fascinating. And that's this kind of smoky, misty landscape they created, and everything that Seb Rochford does always sounds good to me. I like the Loose Tubes album, Arriving, which was a mixture of their swan song performance at Ronnie's in 1990 and four new pieces that were written for their comeback by various members of the band.
And commissioned by Radio 3.
And commissioned indeed by Radio 3.
Helen, extra choices from you?
Well, Leanne Carroll made a beautiful album this year called Seaside, which was one of my favourites. So the trombonist we heard with Misha Mullah-Vibardo at the start of the programme, Tom Green, had his own album out, again with very ambitious, large-scale compositions, which I really love, the album called Skyline.
OK, I will add to that list Vijay Iyer on ECM Records and Break Stuff. He goes from strength to strength, I think, in terms of his writing. And Binker Golding on saxophone, and Moses Boyd, definitely a man on the rise, playing drums, an album called Dem Ones, which was kind of centred in the sort of spiritual jazz side of things and was released on vinyl, which is always a bonus. And next week on Jazz on 3, there's a chance to hear the Beats and Pieces Big Band in concert at Ronnie Scott's, and that was another album I think possibly could have made its way onto all of our lists. Just time for one more choice then. Helen, tell us what you've gone for to close tonight's programme.
Well, it's a solo piano album and it comes from Liam Noble. The album is called A Room Somewhere, and Liam's got such a deceptively sparse approach to a song. He's sort of forensically unpacks and reassembles a melody in the most inventive and original way. Very complex harmonic ideas reveal themselves as the pieces continue, and I just love this album. I just thought it is absolutely brilliant.
Okay, we'll close with that. Thank you very much to Helen May here.
Thank you, Jez.
And also to John Fordham.
Thank you, Jez.
Happy New Year to you both. Thanks also to my producers, Alex Watson and Chris Elcombe, and to all of you for listening. I wish you a very happy New Year. We'll see you early in January with that concert from the Beats and Pieces Big Band. And we'll leave you with Liam Noble's solo rendition of Wouldn't It Be Lovely?
Hello and welcome from me, Jonathan Swain. This is Through the Night here on BBC Radio 3. Flute-playing conductors or directors seem to be more common these days. Thierry Fischer, Alexei Kossenko, to name but two, and this one, the Spaniard Jaime Martin. In this concert from last February in Stockholm, he's both soloist and or conductor of the Swedish Radio Symphony Orchestra in a flute concerto by Chaminade, Mendelssohn's Italian Symphony. And here, first of all, Mozart's D major flute concerto. It's actually Mozart's oboe concerto, which he later on made a version of for the flute. And if the flute was famously not Mozart's favourite instrument, well, the flute he knew wasn't the one we know today. Thank you.